Welcome to episode number 8 of the Mitch and Nils Bull Show. My name is Mitch. The man to my right is Jay
it's
Nils.
So
Nils, what up?
Hard to Nils goodbye to the bench mob in honor and memory of the bench mob. Now extinct.
Why are we singing about the bench mob?
Because they're no longer part of the Bulls. The Bulls decided to cut everyone. We're the bench mob era is over and done with.
We had t-shirts. I mean, the bench mob was huge.
Is this episode going to be a funeral?
It might be.
I mean, I guess we should at least try and celebrate life instead of mourn the death.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what was your favorite bench mob memory? 2010 to 2012.
It's got to be something revolving around CJ Watson, who was my Facebook picture for
slash man crush.
Yeah, I love CJ Watson.
Is it because he kind of looks like one of our buddies?
Hashtag borderless. I don't know. I don't know why I liked it. I mean, obviously that game against Miami, what was it, a little bit after the All-Star break where he just went in.
Right. I think it was actually the last regular season game of this past season against the Heat. That's when Derrick Rose came back, but we went 1-for-13. And that's when the bench mob really stepped up. I mean, there were countless times where the bench mob really had to dig the Bulls out of a hole. I mean, I can't remember specific instances, but there were definitely numerous times where the starters didn't get off on the right foot and the bench mob had to come in and take care of business. And in that specific game you were talking about, you know, you had Kyle Korver, formerly known as Hot Sauce, knocking down threes.
I have a Hot Sauce hat. What am I going to do with that hat? What am I going to do with the hat that says, give me that Hot Sauce on it now? Can I even wear that anymore?
Two words. Salvation Army.
All right.
Well, that's the collector's item now.
Well, welcome to the Bulls Show. This is your Chicago. Your look at the Chicago Bulls from fan perspective. We're not experts. We're not insiders. We're not journalists. But we are two dudes that love the Bulls and definitely want to share our opinions, thoughts, concerns. If you're willing to listen with you guys. So tell the people where they can find us.
I think the question is, where can't they find us?
Oh.
We got that social media market covered. You know, hit us up on Twitter, at The Bulls Show. We're also on Facebook.
That's right.
And or iTunes.
That's right.
Make sure you check out those pages. Hit that like button. And we're actually currently ranked number 46 on Podomatic.com under the sports and recreation category.
There are only 45 podcasts. More listen to us.
Hashtag not so humble brag.
All right. Well, that's about it today. I mean, obviously, we're going
to
be talking.
We have
a lot
to talk about. We're fresh off a bye week,
yeah.
So we got to
yeah.
come hard this week.
I know the people wanted to hear us back, right?
They either want to hear.
I mean,
hear
there were tons of people emailing you, right? Like, where is the Bulls Show?
I wouldn't go that far.
Nobody.
I just hope that no one's forgotten about us. But we're back. We're back.
All right, we're going to be talking about the bitch mob house. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the new. I coined the phrase Euro Mob.
And I've coined the phrase hashtag bench sob.
Yeah, whichever one. We're gonna talk
we can
about
also just
guys.
Call them. We can just call them the United Nations.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the guys who replaced the bench mob. We're also going to be talking about the return of Derek. Derek is back. We're going to be talking about, I mean, obviously stuff going on in the NBA. Jeremy Lin, Kobe versus Kyrie, offseason champs, Olympics. We'll be talking about a lot. So let's get to it. We will be back in 1 minute with the Bulls Show. Topic number one, we're going to be talking about the end of the bench mob. Obviously, everybody's gone. What are we going to do now?
This is depressing.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I mean, for those of, if you're a Bulls fan living under a rock, let me just list the names that are currently no longer on the team.
Okay.
CJ Watson.
Gone.
Ronnie Brewer.
Gone.
Kyle Korver.
Gone.
Brian Scalabrine. The White Mamba.
Rumored
rest
to
in
be
peace.
Gone.
And even though it's not official, Omer Sheikh looks like he's destined for Houston. And I think John Lucas III, our boy.
Gone.
I think he's about to sign with the Raptors.
All right, let me name you the guys who are coming to the bitch mob, all right? And I've been butchering this guy's name, according to Eugene, even though he played for the Bulls for like 8 years. Kirk Heinrich.
I think that's correct.
I think Heinrich. Apparently it's Heinrich.
As long as you're getting his first name right, unlike Vinny Del Negro, I think you're all right. As long as you're not calling him Kurt.
Yeah. Kurt Heinrich. Marco Bellinelli.
Bellinelli.
From Italy.
I'm sure he cooks a mean pasta dish.
I guess. I mean, he can shoot threes. We'll talk about him. Of the guys, I actually like him. Jimmy Butler, who was on the team before, but is obviously going to get an increased role. Nazi Muhammad and Marcus Teague.
You forgot one other guy. I want your reaction. I want a recap of exactly.
I didn't forget.
Go ahead.
Okay, Vladimir Radmanovich.
The Radman. I hear that's like his official nickname.
Yeah, who Phil Jackson a couple years back called a space cadet. I just want to tell you, I don't even want to talk about him because there is no chance that he plays for Tom Thibodeau. He's slow. He doesn't play defense. He's too out of shape to play small forward now, so now he's a power forward. There's no way he plays.
I want a recap, a personal recap, of when and where you were when you heard about the Vlad Radmanovic
scenario. I was at home on Twitter, and this was my favorite Twitter moment, I think, of having Twitter for a year. Just hearing the reactions, like we follow like on our Bull Show, at the Bull Show, about 100 just hardcore basketball people. And there's like a small, like 20, 30 hardcore Bulls fans.
Right.
And at first it was like denial.
I think that it was so outrageous because it came out of nowhere.
No, it didn't.
And I think the majority of the Bulls nation, Bulls community, thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
Because who was it that broke the news? It was like Lou Knauss or Mark Schanowski.
It was like some random like anchor.
A non-Bulls insider. They're media personalities, I guess, but I feel like the equivalent would have been if we broke news.
Yeah.
No one would take us seriously.
We should start doing that.
No, because there's a bunch of fake parody accounts that I get mad when people get retweeted.
Let's break some news right now. Who should we have signed to the Bulls? This is a random European guy that we weren't even sure in the league anymore.
According to sources. The Bulls are now targeting Slava Medvedenko.
Slava.
It's only a matter of time. I mean, you got all these Europeans. Yeah. You might as well.
All right. That's a Bulls show exclusive.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, at least it's not Darko. And
well, you got on me because I was...
This is when I thought we were going to have to create separate Twitter accounts because you went in and tweeted at least... for too many tweets about how Darko like may help the Bulls.
Back to back. All right, well, let's break it down. Who do you want to start with? Because there's kind of like five different guys who get replaced.
The floor is yours. Or are we moving past the Darko issue?
No, I'm going to stand up for Darko. Listen, Darko, and then we'll talk about Sheik versus Muhammad. First, mm-hmm. Darko is better than Nazi Muhammad. But all I was saying with the Sheik... Listen, so if you're going to replace Rashik, you're obviously going to replace him with a defensive-first big man.
Right.
And Darko is kind of like that. So you have to take away the fact that he was a second pick in the draft. Because that doesn't affect the Bulls. Who cares? The Bulls don't care about that. He is a defensive-oriented big man who can catch the ball. So there's that.
I mean,
I wasn't expecting him to drop 15 points a game for the Bulls.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a Darko expert and know how terrible he is. I mean, I feel like I hear enough from reports and from NBA personalities that he would just be a terrible signing. But yeah, you know, there's definitely that negative connotation when it comes to Darko and his reputation of being this probably one of the biggest busts in Sam Bowie coming from overseas and not being able to live up to the second pick of the draft. I just think that there were a lot better alternatives. And you know, I'm not upset with the Nazi Muhammad pick now that I've kind of come to terms with the fact that we're not re-signing or retaining Omer Sheikh. I think that Nazi Muhammad will give us a little more offensively compared to Omer Sheikh. But obviously there's no replacing Omer's defensive impact.
And that's what I'm kind of mad at Bulls fans because... It's weird. I feel like a lot of people were like personally offended almost that Omer Sheikh, and we're not going to talk about whether they should sign him or not resign him, mm-hmm. but it did seem like a lot of Bulls fans were almost personally offended that he got that big contract. And I've always found that weird. Like, why are you mad?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's the fact that they just don't think he's worth it, but
Like, it's not your money. Like,
exactly. We've stated that before. You know, and the thing is, a saying that I've always heard is, you are worth what you get paid.
Exactly.
And if a team is willing to pay him that much, just like was it the Nuggets? I think it's the Nuggets who decided to pay JaVale McGee $11 million.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, the Clippers paying DeAndre Jordan $10 million.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, they may not make a $10 million impact on the game, but that's what they're getting paid.
And that's
what the market does.
Yeah, big guys are going to get paid. I mean, $8.3 million really isn't a ton of money for
a big man. Relatively speaking.
I mean, it's not, you know, I always hear people say, oh, he's getting signed $15 million. He's not getting signed $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting signed $8.3 million over 3 years. It's just that the money is funny. You know, the money is all at the end.
Right.
But I think for $8.3 million, that's a little bit more than what he probably deserves. Brandon Bass got $7 million. Tyrus Thomas got $8 million. Thaddeus Young got $8 million. Charlie Villanueva got $8 million. Paul Millsap got $8.5 million. Ryan Anderson got $8.5 million. Anderson Vergeiro?
What?
The guy
Anderson
Vergeiro? Whatever.
Tomato, tomato?
Yeah. He got $8.5 million.
Right.
I mean, all these guys, I mean, Ilyasova from Milwaukee got $9 million. I mean,
I just say, you know, get what's yours, Omer. You know,
yeah.
I if anyone was in that position, they'd gladly accept the money. And you know, it as a Bulls fan, yeah, I'm upset, but that's how the cookie crumbles. It is what it is, as much as I hate that
saying. So how much will the Bulls miss Ashiq?
I think they're going to miss him tremendously, especially when you compare it to how they're going to stack up against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, I don't want to be redundant from past episodes, but we've already talked about our team this past season, the past couple seasons, have been tailor-made to play against a team like Miami and defeat them. When you have that depth, when you have that size, you're losing those assets, and I don't think that they'll be in a position now to really compete. And especially when you take away the rest of the bench mob, what resources do you have to really stay competitive with Miami?
All right. Well, speaking of the rest of the bench mob, let's break down the whole C.J. Watson Kirk Hinrich trade or swap. I feel a little bit differently than I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people think that this is kind of a give or take whatever trade. I think I felt like that at first, and it wasn't a trade, but essentially, I mean, Kirk is going to be taking CJ's spot.
Right.
A lot of people thought this is kind of like a one for one tomato tomato kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think CJ Watson is actually a lot better.
He is, but at the same time, I've stated before that Kirk Hinrich fits the personality of the Bulls, and maybe I'm overstating this, but the impact of Tibbs and his coaching, I think, is going to do wonders for a guy like Kirk Hinrich. I think he's going to be really rejuvenated in his system. I mean, you take a look at guys such as C.J. Watson, such as John Lucas, and I think it's fair to say that we hadn't really heard of them that much before they came to the Bulls. I mean,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah,
because
but
don't
C.J. Watson actually put up some pretty impressive numbers in Golden State. He shot the ball well, and he
right.
shot the ball well here. Now, he did defend really well here, and I'm not sure he defended really well before, so there may be some truth to your statement.
I've definitely talked myself into the whole Hinrich for Watson swap, and I think what the biggest advantage that Hinrich has over Watson is that he has a higher basketball IQ.
He does.
I think he makes smarter decisions. A case in point, I don't know if Hinrich necessarily dishes the ball off to Omer in that last possession against the 76ers in the first round. I think that Hinrich hopefully would have the awareness to keep the ball and shoot the free throws. He's definitely not as athletic as CJ, but you know, you could make a case for Hinrich being a better fit for the Bulls.
He's had two really bad seasons.
Right, right.
In Washington and in Atlanta.
Right. And
I mean, he's been bad. I mean,
he's been bad, but look at the systems he's been playing under. You know, in Atlanta, he was playing under Larry Drew, which was strictly isolations. I felt like every play down the court was either Joe Johnson or Josh Smith going one-on-one. And then before that, he was in a situation playing, I think, for Flip Saunders in Washington.
Flip Saunders is a good coach.
He's definitely a good coach, but he wasn't surrounded by good players who bought into a system. I mean, it was just a very toxic environment being in Washington, playing with guys like JaVale McGee, John Wall, who maybe weren't as focused on winning.
Yeah. I mean, he shot the ball okay the first year he left the Bulls. The second year, in Atlanta. I think he shot like 34%, which is not very, very good for a guy who's going to be one of your best 3-point shooters. But you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm down on it. You're on top of it. You like it,
right? Right. I like it. And you know, this actually is a good transition to Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I think we differ on this.
This might be a little heated debate, a little heated discussion. I was fine with having Heinrich and Butler replace Watson and Brewer as our backcourt off the bench, simply because, you know, we already talked about Watson and Heinrich, that comparison. But with Butler, I just have high hopes for the guy this season, especially when you consider that last season wasn't a regular rookie year. You know, you had the lockout, so one, you didn't have summer league. Two, there was no practice time, so there's really no time for him to develop.
And
obviously, he had limited
minutes.
He's looking good. Right, right. You know, summer league is going on right now, and Jimmy Butler is our leading scorer. He's averaging around 20 points, 8 rebounds. And the thing that makes me really optimistic is the fact that he's looking aggressive out there. He's not only aggressive, but he's also showing some confidence, something that he didn't have last year. But at the same time, you know, he was put in a position, and, you know, I know this is a small sample size, but if you think back to the game against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden on national TV, the Bulls pulled out a victory, and Jimmy Butler checked in to specifically guard Carmelo Anthony.
But, I mean, speaking of guarding big people, I mean, it hasn't been just one game for Ronnie Brewer. Ronnie Brewer, for the last 2 years, has consistently taking really tough matchups and done very well,
right?
Especially against Dwayne Wade.
He is a shutdown defender. I'm not denying that. And I will, you know, disclaim that my argument for Jimmy Butler is more so based on potential than what I've seen. But what I'm trying to, you know, emphasize is the fact that I like what I've seen. I think that he has a higher ceiling than Ronnie Brewer. I think that he's going to be better offensively than Ronnie Brewer. And the fact that he hasn't had a regular rookie season and is now showing flashes of pretty good basketball skills in summer league, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. But at the same time, I think he's going to have a lot of high expectations. But like I said, anytime that you can step up at Madison Square Garden, guard Carmelo Anthony, you know, that I have confidence in that.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe the Bulls bring back Ronnie Brewer on a smaller contract. We've seen that guys have not gone for a ton of money. Even guys like O.J. Mayo and Lee have gone for under $5 million. So
it's probably a good thing that we didn't record last week, because I would have looked
your man crush for O.J. Mayo.
I do have a man,
by the way. You know that, right?
Which is fine, but if you're gonna have O.J. Mayo come in and replace a guy like Kyle Korver, I think that's a huge upgrade. I think that O.J. Mayo is much more skilled than Kirk Heinrich, but I'm not gonna go down the whole. I was ready to plead for O.J. Mayo to come to Chicago last week.
Did you tweet at him?
I did not tweet at him. I hold some sort of decency. but what I'm trying to say is that it's a good thing that we didn't record, because I would have looked foolish the next day when O.J. Mayo decided to sign with the Mavericks. It's just frustrating, because I think that he could have been a guy that would have created the backcourt of the future with Rose.
Well, speaking of backcourts, speaking of the future, actually the guy they brought in, I'm not too unhappy with, Marco Bonelli.
Has that been official? I don't know if it's official,
but it sounds like it's pretty set in stone. The Bulls will likely sign. He's a two guard. He's played, I guess, for the Hornets last year, I think.
Yeah, he was on the Hornets. I do have limited knowledge on Marco Bellinelli. I think that anytime, you know, you start reaching for international prospects, your immediate reaction is they're probably soft and they're cheap. It's just
racist.
Weird. No, I'm just saying. I mean, you look at a guy like Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
His rap on him was that he was too soft before he won a championship.
Well, I mean, Kyle Korver isn't like the bastion of toughness, is he?
Right. Well, now we're I don't know. I mean,
that's who he's replacing. I mean, he's replacing Kyle Korver. I mean, I guess
Marco Bellinelli, not a guy that gets me excited. Not a guy that, you know, I'm crazy about. When Courtney Lee and O.J. Mayo were seem like legit possibilities.
Well, I don't. I wouldn't compare him to those guys. I really think that Kirk Heinrich was a guy that's replacing Mayo and Lee. I think Bellinelli will replace the Kyle Korver. I think he's going to be kind of like the guy who stands in the corner and shoots threes. He's not going to be the guy initiating the offense or you know, taking tough defensive matchups. And he's hit threes. I mean, he's shot over 39% almost every season. He's young. He's been in the league 5 years. He's not like a project.
Right.
I mean, he's been around. I mean, he's not a total unknown. So I like that sign of those guys. He's not Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver is an amazing shooter. But we got him for a fifth of the price. So, and that seems to be the theme.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, not something that, you know, is going to get us over the hump or really improve our team. I think that it's a marginal replacement. I think it's fair to say that our team has definitely taken a step back.
No, they have. And we got one more guy. Speaking of step backs, step back jumpers, step back in progress, John Lucas. We talked about him so much, and now he's gone. Do you feel shame? Do you feel bad that you talked about the man like a dog?
I like
John Lucas.
Check the tape. Check the tape.
I love John. I'm sorry you left.
You know, it definitely doesn't break my heart that John Lucas is gone.
No, it doesn't break my heart. He sucks. I'm glad he's gone.
I'm pretty happy that not happy, but you know, I think Marcus Teague, despite his summer league performances,
he looks like an idiot. By the way,
I'm a little worried. There were
I know many people aren't out there watching summer league, but I don't think you can fix stupid, and he seems stupid.
It's concerning. There was someone put it best on Twitter, saying, "Right now, Marcus Teague's performance in summer league is proving why he should have stayed one more year at Kentucky."
Shots fired.
But you know what? As long as Marcus Teague is creating for his teammates and say not dribbling out the clock for 22 seconds out of 24 second shot clock,
Kurt,
I think he's going to be an upgrade from John Lucas.
All right. That is going to be it for topic number one. We're going to talk a little bit more Bulls, talk about the bigger picture going forward in topic number two with all the changes.
I will say this. You know, we have an Italian on the team. We have a Serbian on the team.
This sounds like a forced joke, by the way.
Well, I'm just saying. Well, maybe I have it written down right here. It sounds like with us being essentially the United Nations, all the Bulls are missing is a spot up.
Uh-oh.
Filipino sharpshooter.
Where would they find a spot up Filipino sharpshooter from?
I'm just saying.
Where would they find one from?
I mean, if you're inquiring, Gar Foreman, John Paxson, if you're listening, at the Bulls Show on Twitter, thebullsshow@gmail.com.
Now, if you get signed with the Bulls, are you still going to record the podcast?
I'll have
probably not, right?
I'll have it built into my vet minimum contract.
All right. Well, that's it with topic number one. Topic number two, we're going to be talking about the big picture that's coming up in about one. All right, topic number two, we're going to be talking about the bigger picture with the Bulls. This offseason has been certainly an offseason of distress for diehards, like people probably listening to the show July.
We did win already 2013 financial champions.
I want people to see that if you have not seen that. Neil has put together I think our best work or your best work in terms of the Photoshop game.
I got to credit Bulls. I think it was Bulls Blogger who coined the hashtag or phrase. With this cost-cutting off-season, you know, we may not put out there the best team on the court, but let me tell you, our financial books are looking clean right now.
Yeah, and that's hilarious, but, like, it's also sad. It's, like, really sad. It's sad to me I'm gonna get on my little rant right now.
Well, it makes perfect sense because we're a small market, you know.
We don't pay like $125.
We don't make enough money as a team. When I say we, I mean the Bulls as an organization afford some of these players.
I mean, how much do you pay for tickets? Like, I think I talked about this before, maybe. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast or with somebody, but I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of money we spend for this team, to support this team, and for them to act like they're a small market team is ridiculous. And I think that's what they're doing.
Right. It's disheartening. Next year is going to be rough, and that's actually what we're going to talk a little bit, about now. When it came to kind of what are your thoughts on the Bulls' general direction?
Well, I think the Bulls had a decision to make at the beginning of the offseason. I kind of looked at it as Tyronn Lue is coaching. Sorry.
we got a little summer league going on in the background.
Tyronn Lue is
coaching. We might be a little distracted. Bulls' direction.
Tyronn Lue was distracting me. Four directions. I think they could have stayed the course, re-signed the bench mob, kept everybody under contract,
right,
and kind of just waited for Derrick Rose to come back and keep at what they were doing before.
Are you going to go through every single point, or do you want me to give?
No,
my
we'll go through them real quick, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay,
which one we liked? They could have stayed the course. They could have
retained all their players.
Retain all their players, bring everybody back, bring the bitch bomb back, bring the same team back, wait for Derek to come back and see what happens. Second kind of course. They could have taken the bitch bomb, taken all those expiring contracts, and tried to trade them for a player who makes a lot of money who a team is trying to get rid of, i.e. Joe Johnson, Kevin Martin, Lesser, Ben Gordon, he had to get the podcast. Or Corey Maggette.
Oh, God. I knew you were going to drop that in there at some point. That kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah, that's topic number two. That's kind of road number two.
Option number two.
Option number three, sell the farm. Trade Noah, trade Dang, Amnesty Boozer, try to get draft picks in here. Keep the kind of the core of Rose and Gibson and just build another house.
Essentially, next year would have been a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
It would bring us back to the Tim Floyd era.
Right. So, gosh. Shout out to Marcus Fizer. And I think road number four is kind of to stop the spending right now. You know, Derek's out. Let's just stop spending. Let's, you know, not subtract, not add. Just don't spend any money on anybody. And that's kind of where the Bulls are at. So of those four roads, which one do you think you would have taken?
My preference was definitely to bring everyone back. I think that, you know, we talked about this team being able to compete with Miami. I mean, bottom line is we were the most winningest team for the past 2 years.
Yep.
And I know that there's a lot of speculation or thoughts that even if we were healthy, we wouldn't be able to beat Miami. But we don't know that. We don't know that for sure.
I'm a proof guy. I'm an evidence guy. People don't have evidence to state that.
Right.
We did lose to Miami in one series,
but there's so many flaws in that in that series. One, we've never been that deep into the playoffs before, so it was definitely a learning experience. Two, I think an underrated part of that series in 2000, referring to the 2011 Eastern Conference Finals, is that Omer Sheik was injured and was out for the series from the end of Game 2 through Game 5. And I'm not sure that's a complete coincidence that we went 0-4 during that stretch. And also, Keith Bogans was a starting shooting guard.
Yeah, we were a better team the year after that. Additionally, I mean, we had the same type of point differentials as Oklahoma City did in their 2012 matchup against Miami Heat. And I don't think anybody's saying that the Thunder can't possibly beat the Heat. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, it was an 11-point differential, a 4-1 series for both of those series.
And along those same lines, you look at a team like Boston, who took the Heat to seven games and essentially took one of the most epic performances by an individual player in the playoffs, and LeBron James scoring, 45 points that game, to force the game seven. I mean, it's not like Boston's like, oh, well, we lost, so we're going to break up the team, break up the Big Four. No, not only did they not do that, but they actually got better by signing Courtney Lee, by signing Jason Terry. Avery Bradley is coming back. They did not decide, you know what, we're going to throw away a season next year.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
And I think that if you compared our team versus a team like Boston, who essentially came the closest to beating Miami, if we had stayed healthy, I know that's a huge, huge if, but you can't tell me that the Bulls weren't better than Boston. And what has been Miami's weakness is an inside defensive presence, interior rebounding, and point guard play. Well, I think that's all that we had had we stayed healthy.
Well, let me play a little devil's advocate. There have been Bulls fans out there, pretty smart Bulls fans, even, you know, high-profile bloggers and high-profile media members who say the Bulls aren't going to win anyway. Mm-hmm. Why should the organization spend money? Why? I mean,
because they were the winningest team for the past two seasons. They deserve that chance.
Derrick Rose is out.
But you don't know that. I mean, granted, it's more likely than not he's going to come back and not be the same player.
Yeah, he might not be the same
player. He's not going to be the same player.
So why spend this money on this team when you know they can't win a championship?
Because I feel like they earned that right. I feel like they earned that right by putting up 60-win seasons. Obviously not last year because of the lockout, but essentially the equivalent of a 60-win season twice in a row. I think that, you know, at the very least, give them one more shot. They deserved it. Give them one more shot, see what happens. We, like you said before we started recording, you know, you can't make the argument that it may not happen. There's always a chance. And I would have liked to seen that happen. And you know what? If they don't bring everyone back, or if they do bring everyone back and they had lost, then all those contracts expire, and now you open up cap space. Maybe you amnesty boost. That was going to be my second choice. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're gonna rebuild or have a rebuilding year.
Real rebuilding year.
Right. You know,
they're halfway rebuilding because the Bulls will still kind of be good.
Right. You don't want to half-ass it. And I hope that doesn't give us an explicit rating. But you don't want to half-ass it, you know. And if you're going to rebuild, trade Dang and Noah for assets and picks. Amnesty Boozer.
So would you prefer to do that instead of doing what the Bulls are doing now?
Definitely. Definitely. I think that, you know, if you're conceding the fact that you're not going to be competitive again until at the earliest 2013, 2014, yeah, you know, like you said, sell the farm.
Well, some people will say this, too. Some people will say, well, I mean, is the bench mob so good that the guys we're going to replace them with are just going to make the going to be such a big difference that the Bulls can't do anything? What do you say to that?
That this basically what they're doing right now is essentially the same thing as tanking? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I'm trying to say this, that a lot of people will say just giving up on the bench mob, because that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. The Bulls have basically lost four or five players from the bench. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will say, well, that's not a big deal. Like, they're bench players.
Right.
I mean, are they really doing something so horrible? Are they really giving up?
Right, because as I mentioned in our intro, how many games did the bench mob dig the starters out of a hole?
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously don't have any stats to back this up, but...
Well, no, their stats to suggest that they were a very good bench.
Right.
I mean, both Gibson had a very high per. Ashik was highly touted as a defensive player. I think Synergy Sports had him as the best defensive center in the league. I think Hollinger had him as the sixth best defensive player.
Right. I mean, you...
There were guys...
I'd be interested to see their plus-minus last year as a five-man unit. And I know that Dang and Korver were kind of interchangeable, but... For the most part, I felt like they were really productive. I don't see that in this current roster of whether it be Bellinelli, Butler, Radmanovic, Nazir Muhammad. I mean, I just don't think that they're going to make as much of an impact as the bench mob.
I mean, Omer Asik was the best player, I believe, for the Bulls in that Philly series once Noah and Rose went down. Mm-hmm. I just don't see Nazir Muhammad
right,
being the best player of the Bulls.
Right. And I guess I just want to say one last thing about, you know, my stance of retaining last year's roster, even though Rose may or may not be the same player. If you remember those, what, 3.5 quarters against Philly, game one of the NBA playoffs, we looked ridiculously good. I mean, maybe I'm overstating it, but... You know, I remember that Philadelphia was sometimes referred to as Miami Light. I think that actually Doug Tonis coined them as such because, you know, they had the same type of defense. They kind of had the same type of athletic perimeter play. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Andre Iguodala is no LeBron James, but it was kind of a tune-up for that. And it looked like, you know, we'd be able to handle some of that. And even though we had home court advantage in 2011 in the Eastern Conference Finals, we would have had home court advantage again this past year, and I think that would have been that would have made a huge difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, my preference is to would have been to retain the previous roster.
Yeah. But
instead, they're not doing that.
Yeah. Real quickly, I actually like the idea number two as well. I mean, I would have kept the team together, but if you didn't keep the team together, you know, packaged a bench mob. They had a bunch of expiring contracts. They could have moved for a guy like Joe Johnson and or a guy like Kevin Martin. And I really think if you really believe that the Bulls need to get a number two, that they're missing that number two guy, that Robin's their Batman, you're not going to sign that guy under free agency because the Bulls just don't have enough cap room. The way you're going to do that is through trades. You're not going to do it through the draft either because your team is already good. So right. If you really feel like the Bulls need to get a number two, you're going to have to take some of your contracts, your expiring contracts, and trade for a guy who another team doesn't want, a guy who is a good player but kind of on a losing team, or a guy who's slightly overpaid. That's what you kind of have to do unless you're going to, you know, tear up everything.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
I mean, do you think O.J. Nemeo would have been the number two that would have pushed the Bulls over the hump?
I think that he had potential. I think
do
that
you think
he,
Courtney Lee was? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think Courtney Lee. Yeah. Courtney Lee, no, because O.J. Nemeo was the type of guy that could create his own shot. Mm-hmm. And I think that he just needed a change of scenery, not playing behind such an elite two-guard, defensively, I should say, in sure. Tony Allen. I think that if he came in, again, backcourt of the future with Rose and Mayo, I would have liked to see how that would have panned out. I think that
it'd be nice.
You know, I know seeing, you know, O.J. Mayo in nationally televised games, I know that he's a guy that you could give the ball to in the waning seconds and look to create. I have confidence in him when it comes to that. I mean, maybe his stats don't back that up, but you know,
I mean,
he came
into the league very good. I mean, he wasn't very efficient offensively, but he put up 17 points a game
right.
His first season. And he had to, like you said, he had to sacrifice a lot.
Right.
Playing with Rudy Gay, playing with Zach Randolph, playing with...
Vinny Del Negro's on the screen.
I know. And I really tried to keep it professional. And you looked at him, you looked at me, and I was in the middle of a point. I would have kept it cool if it wasn't for you.
I don't know. I mean, this just brings back some bad memories.
Yeah.
So, again, we're watching Summer League, and Vinny Del Negro just popped up, and it's...
Adam Morris is on the screen, too, by the way. Yeah, apparently he's like balling in Summer League, like dropping like 20 a game.
Summer League.
Do we need to holler him?
No. Let's stay the course here.
I was saying before, you know, O.J. Mayo definitely sacrificed his game, and you know he'd have came in this situation. But to tell you the truth, I don't know if O.J. Mayo's a ton better right now than Rip Hamilton. I mean,
I think that he would at least stay on the court. I think he would play more than seven games during the regular season.
That may be a good point. All right, let's move on to topic number three. Topic number three, we're going to be talking about the rest of the NBA. Topic number three, we're going to be talking about the rest of the NBA. There have been some great stories, and we'll hit them real quick. There have been a ton. Obviously, let's start with the Jeremy Lin thing. I mean, that's what Twitter's been going nuts about. I can't believe it. I'm shocked. I can't believe they gave up Jeremy Lin, the Knicks.
It's just a bad business decision.
It's a bad basketball decision, too, which is weird. Like, there's not...
I think it becomes bad when you look that he's being essentially replaced by Jason Kidd, who... We don't know if he's sober enough to play. Shots fired.
And he's also 39. It was not very effective.
And a potentially fat Raymond Felton.
Listen, I think Raymond Felton's a good player. I mean, he made the play. I think
he might be a good player if he's in shape. Right now, he's looking like a model representative of the baby fat division.
No, he's not looking too tight right now. But you could have had both. That's the thing about it.
Right,
So you could have had Jeremy Felton. You could have had Raymond Felton, and you could have had Jeremy Lin, and you'd have high production out of your point guard position for 48 minutes in the game. Why not just do that?
I really don't know. I think it's a shame that they didn't retain him.
The Knicks are butthurt, I guess. Okay, that probably takes to the explicit.
It's just one of those things where, you know, despite how outrageous the contract was, you can make the argument that he wasn't worth, what, $25 million or whatever
but
he is, from a business standpoint.
From a basketball perspective, I think he's worth $8 million a year, and we have to get away from that $15 million a year. He's getting paid 5-5 15 or 5-5 13. Once you balance it out, it's not that terrible of a contract. Now, people are going to talk about the luxury tax, and there is something to be said about the luxury tax. But the Knicks paid for bad teams for 10 years.
Right, right.
I mean, like,
all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we don't want to pay. We want to be fiscally responsible.
Yeah, it's just stupid. Like,
sorry, Knicks fans. The 2013 financial championship has already been taken.
Yeah, we got you. So we both agree. Do we think Jeremy Lin's going to be a star in Houston?
I don't know. That's tough to say. I feel like I can't shake the stigma of that game on TNT against the Heat where he couldn't dribble up half court. I think that he's going to continue to get better now that he has an opportunity. But I'll tell you where I do have beef. I have beef with a lot of these uneducated, completely ignorant Knicks fans that are out on Twitter, out on Facebook, calling Jeremy Lin a traitor, throwing out some racial slurs.
So stupid.
I mean, why are you directing that venom, that hate towards him? Dude, it's not his fault.
I hate to tell you, if the Magic Show comes calling and they would have paid me some bucks.
The Magic Show?
The Magic Show.
Okay.
Or the Hawks Show.
Yeah.
Or the Celtics Show.
Right.
I might get out of here.
Right. Anyone in his position would have signed that offer sheet.
Every single player in the league who's a restricted free agent goes out and tries to sign an offer sheet, and your team who has you can match that or let you go.
Right.
Nobody doesn't do that.
That's
ridiculous.
It's not a situation where he spurned the Knicks management.
Yeah.
I mean, he just went out and tested. He has a right
Which
to
they
test his fair market
and
value.
And they could have re-upped him without letting him be a restricted free agent.
Right.
They made that choice.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, they immediately, and when I say they, I mean the Knicks fans, immediately forget what he brought to the table. I mean, obviously you had Lin standing in the hysteria behind that. But more than anything, without him, you wouldn't make the playoffs last year.
He's a good player.
Right.
You can take in Ray Felton. Start him.
Right.
Jeremy Lin's a good player. Jeremy Lin's going to be better than Jason Kidd. And I think that's where the comparison starts, not Ray Felton. But anyway, I think we agree. Everybody's talked about it, so there's no reason to go on. What everybody's also been talking about, Kobe versus Kyrie.
This is from a couple weeks ago, and you know we would have touched on it last week had we recorded. But for those of you who haven't seen it, there's a YouTube clip of Kyrie Irving challenging Kobe Bryant to a one-on-one contest, with the winner, I think, donating $50,000 to their charity.
And Kyrie Irving went ahead and broke his hand.
Yeah, you know, I saw a joke
before
on Twitter.
We saw that.
Yeah, I saw a joke on Twitter saying that maybe, are we sure that Kyrie Irving broke his hand by slapping a padded wall? I mean, are you sure that Kobe didn't send his goons out?
Maybe. But who do you think would have won that game?
You know, my knee-jerk reaction is it'd definitely be Kobe just because of his size.
He's like 6 inches taller.
Right. He's 6 inches taller. He has a better jump shot. I think that he would just own Kyrie Irving in the post. But Kyrie Irving's no joke. Especially just because I would say that Kobe has kind of lost a step in his old age.
Kobe would find it hard playing on that island, top
right.
of the key. I mean, that's a tough place to be when you're guarding one of the quickest players with some of the best ball handling.
Right. And like you were saying, you know, when you're playing one-on-one, a lot of it's, you know, crossovers and just making the guy look silly and being able to beat your guy to the basket.
Yeah, you're not coming off picks and hitting jump shots.
Right.
You're not hitting, not a lot of fadeaways.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one-on-one, can you stay in front of me? Could Kobe stay in front of Irving? I don't know. I mean, I would just give it to Kobe because of the size.
Right.
I'm assuming he would just give him the Bow Wow status.
Yeah, but don't you know, scoff at Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
I mean, he was making guys look silly in some of those Team USA scrimmages.
Yeah. By the way, if you haven't, YouTube, Kobe versus Bow Wow 101. It's hilarious, and they actually mentioned it in the Kobe versus Kyrie when they were talking mess.
I definitely enjoyed the trash talk between Irving and Kobe. I think it was one of those things where you could tell that Kyrie's trying to like still be respectful,
yeah.
But he had like that confidence that, like,
he's always been the best player
right
in his class on his team.
Right.
Like, he's not used to deferring. Like, he's always been the best.
Like, I was talking about this with a couple of buddies of mine in the past couple of days, that I wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie Irving is one of the best point guard in the NBA in five years.
Better than Bears?
We'll see.
Wow.
Kind of crazy. They've never played each other yet in the NBA.
Really?
Because last year,
either
Derek was injured or Kyrie was out as well. So they've never gone head-to-head.
We'll see.
And that might not happen next year either. So
we'll
see what happens.
Let's move on. What else are we talking about? NBA.
Off-season champs.
Off-season champs.
Yeah.
Who's your off-season? We know that the Bulls are the fiscally responsible off-season champs. Who's the basketball-related decisions off-season champs?
You know what? I'll give you a team that I think has accomplished or who has achieved in both areas, both business-wise and basketball-wise, and that'd be your Brooklyn Nets.
What up,
Hove? The reason why I say that is because, you know, they were going into the off-season with potentially no one.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is it looked like Deron Williams was signing in Dallas. They had traded a top three pick for Gerald Wallace, who looked like he wasn't going to resign. And you were left with essentially a guy who broke his foot twice last year in Brooke Lopez, who doesn't rebound. He's a 7 foot center who doesn't rebound. And
rebound's overrated anyway.
And Mr. Kardashian, Chris Humphries.
Who does rebound.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, now fast forward 2 months later, and not only do they have Deron Williams, Gerald Wallace, Chris Humphries, Brooke Lopez, but they got Joe Johnson. And
that's a nice starting five.
That's a pretty solid starting five.
Yeah.
And the reason why they got
guys coming off the bench, too.
Right. You got Marshawn Brooks.
Yep.
Even though they lost out on the Dwight Howard sweepstakes, I think they're still going to be good. I think they're going to be a top four team in the East next year.
I think they're going to be either second or third. I think they'll be fighting with Boston.
And any time that you're switching locations, going from New Jersey to Brooklyn, and, you know, they're making a big splash. They got the headlines right now, and I think it's going to be fun to watch the whole Brooklyn Nets, New York Knicks rivalry kind of develop over through the years.
Well, I think obviously New Jersey's Brooklyn's done a great job. Also Boston. I mean, it started off really bad with losing Ray Allen, but I think they did. I mean, they brought in Jason Terry before they lost Ray Allen, but then getting Courtney Lee on the absolute steal,
right.
Trading Juwan Johnson and Etuan Moore, I think that's awesome. And then, you know, Jarrett Sullinger, I know it's the summer league. He's been killing. And I think everybody thinks that Sullinger's going to produce. It's just whether he stays healthy. I mean, they've added players. So I think
it's just crazy that a team like Boston decided to maintain their core and give it another shot. Something that I wish the Bulls would have done.
Yeah. All right. Finally, last little topic before.
Last but not least.
Definitely not least.
We
share the Bulls show. We share Twitter. If he follows on Twitter, sometimes it's Jason, sometimes it's me. And I was horrified.
It was a little un-American of me.
I was saddened. I was shocked.
Let me bring up the tweet right now.
This is bad.
I'm gonna. It's funny because I quoted myself.
I really didn't say it.
I just was thinking it.
Well, I think you quoted yourself because you wanted everybody to know that it was you.
Right.
We're talking about the tweet.
Usually
Olympic tweet.
Usually when I tweet, it's supposed to be representative of both of us.
Yeah.
But in this case, you know, I this is something that was just representative of me.
Get the people to tweet. Get the people to tweet. Stop making excuses. Just get the people to tweet.
So this might come off a little un-American, but here's my tweet. I may get deported, but sometimes I find myself rooting against Team USA. Tough cheering for LBJ/Kobe.
It's America.
Hate dream team comparison.
Okay, first off, your anger, you love this 92 dream team. Obviously, everybody loves them.
Right.
And there's been talk in the media of how this team matches up to that team. And I think that personally offends you.
It does.
Which is fine.
It does.
But to take it to anti-Americanism, to say that you would actually, let me just say.
I really hope I don't lose my citizenship over this.
Who are you rooting for?
Right now,
who are you rooting for the Olympics?
I still want Team USA to win.
No, who are you?
Read the quote.
Who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for Team USA.
So, if, let me give you a scenario. If Spain beats the USA in the gold medal game, inside you're not going to be like, oh, I told them. I told them 92 couldn't be. You won't feel like that inside. Just a little bit. You can admit to us. No, we only have like 100 people listening. You can admit it.
I'll just be happy that will close the argument on
you'll
the
be
92
happy.
Olympic.
You'll be
day.
Happy.
And you know what?
Point, you know what?
To see LeBron,
show over. We're out. It's over.
To see LeBron lose after, you know, he's I think the credentials are there's only been one other person to win Finals MVP, win a championship, and win an Olympic gold medal in the same year, and that was Michael Jordan. I'd be okay with LeBron.
I hate LeBron more than anybody. There are people out there now that I told if the Bulls sign LeBron James, I'm gonna find it hard to root for the Bulls. I hate LeBron James more than anybody. He's got the USA on his chest. Let's end the debate there.
Again, I'm just saying sometimes I find myself feeling that way because I don't. Would you ever cheer for Isaiah Thomas? Would you ever cheer for John Starks?
Yes, I'm willing to.
It's just natural, instinctive for me to feel that if I see a natural rival to the Bulls, I don't want them to win. That's all there is to it.
Holler at us on Twitter. Holler at us on Gmail. Tell us what you feel. We'll read the best emails about this. Are you rooting for the American basketball team, even though there are hated rivals on the team? LeBron, I guess, maybe Carmelo. I think it's anti-American. I respect you less as a man. And I hope that the United States makes you feel sad because you're obviously rooting for France. rooting for France.
I'm just saying that I do want them to win, but it just feels weird. I'm left a little confused when you're putting a team out there that is a direct rival or direct enemy to my hometown team of the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, come on,
man. The players.
Karl Malone and John Stockton was on the Dream Team, and you had no trouble rooting for them. I guess at that point, they weren't really rivals.
Yeah, exactly. They were rivals.
Sorry, Magic was.
Magic was on the downslope of his career. And we beat
Barkley
him.
Barkley was.
We beat him. We beat Barkley. Okay. And that was after.
Drexler.
We didn't play Barkley until after. And the difference was is that, yeah, it was great, but at the same time, we owned you guys. We beat him. Call me a hater. Essentially, I just don't like to see LeBron continue winning. I think that he's a tremendous basketball talent. I think he is one of the best, if not the best player on the planet right now. I'm never going to hate on his game. I think that it's something that, you know, I feel honored to see and watch. And you know, as a fan, I appreciate it. But, you know, I'm a Bulls fan.
All right. Well,
I don't like LeBron James going against the Bulls. It would be, again, it'd be a different story if Derrick Rose is on the team. It'd be a completely different story.
We'll hit you guys next week with a little We'll hit you guys next week with a little bit of Olympic preview. At that time, I think we'll have probably like the first game. I'm not exactly sure the schedule, but the Olympics will, I think, just be starting. Don't quote me on it. And we'll talk about the other teams, Spain, Argentina, France, are going to be our big competitors, and whether we think the United States will take home the gold medal crown. We'll also talk a little bit about my theory that this team's starting five can at least compete. I think we talked about it a little bit before.
No, you didn't say at least compete. You said before we started recording that this team had a 50-50 chance of beating
the
U.S.
We'll talk about
the
it a little
team,
bit more. I'm just saying that if you put the best five, Paul, Kobe, Durant, LeBron, Chandler, 92 has got problems. You put them out for 48 minutes. I still think 92 is probably going to win. But it's like 51-49, 50-50.
I'm going to get my Chuck Daly on and put all those guys on lockdown.
All right. We will talk about that next week.
We got to wrap up because your girlfriend's waiting downstairs.
Yeah. No. You weren't supposed to say that because when I got out there, I was going to say, oh, I didn't know you texted me. Now you messed it up.
Well,
hopefully she does not listen.
You could edit this in post-production. Does she sit down and listen? I know my fiance doesn't listen to this.
I'm pretty sure Sarah's probably listening to us right now and she's going to tell Melissa.
Hashtag busted.
All right. Well, RIP to the Bench Mob.
RIP to the Bench Mob.
I think I'm going to end this with no offense to Rocky, who laced the beats for us. I think we're going to end with a little Boyz II Men, the original version. Not that your version wasn't good. I liked it.
I had been practicing all week trying to hit those high notes.
All right. Well, we are out of here for Nils. I am Mitch. We will see you guys next week.
Bull show.